Welcome back to the Strong John Fitness Podcast. Today we have an amazing special guest. We've had this on the books now for a few weeks, so really looking forward to digging and chatting. It's always nice chatting. We got Christine Williams. She coaches women to be strong, confident, and reveal their most fabulous selves. That message in alone in itself speaks to me and how I like to coach women as well. Like it's more than just what you see on social media. Christine does a great job of digging into helping each one of her clients kind of be their best self in a way, if you can kind of label it that. But Christine, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, John. I'm excited to be here, chat with you, chat about how we all work together as coaches to, you know, enhance people's lives and work with women and men as well, of course, but just, you know, teach them the skills of setting new habits to be a better self, which is great.
This is awesome. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to digging in. So for those that don't know you very well, and plus I don't know this backstory either, but what got you into fitness in the first place? I always love to hear everyone's origin story, if you will.
So, growing up, I was really, really shy. And so I was always put into sports, but I remember always that team sports for me caused a lot of very bad days just because mostly it was that I just was so uncomfortable with doing it. So I don't know, I can't say if I was really athletic or not growing up. It was just that I don't ever feel that I felt that I found the sport that was for me. So fast forward many years forward through high school, I did do some individual sports. I love that. I love track and field. I'm only 5'2". Interestingly, I was really good at high jump. Wow. Don't know how. but, you know, it was kind of always in my mind of that I thought I wanted to be in some sort of healthcare or the, you know, fitness or whatever it was. But I kind of had that misalignment of that. Because I hadn't grown up athletic, I believed that, okay, maybe it's not something that I could do. And then I had my first child when I was 27. And I think really I just got sick and tired of feeling the way that I felt because I felt so kind of uncomfortable and discombobulated with myself of not knowing who I was. I knew I wanted to be physically active and I just didn't know how to go about doing that. So first off, I'd started by running. That wasn't for me. It wasn't something that was natural for me, but I liked it. I got out there with some of my friends and then fast forward to when I had my daughter. So I was 30 when I had my daughter. And then I started weight training a little bit before I had her, but super casual, nothing in place, no habits put into place. And then I started going to the gym and training in the gym. You know, I'd be at the back of the room. I'd go to the boot camp class. I didn't want anybody to see me. And then it just went from there. I started taking some nutrition courses. And really, for me, it was just a really good confidence builder of like, it was just something I was doing for me. I wasn't doing it. My primary basis was not actually to look a certain way. I mean, that doesn't mean that there weren't stages that I didn't go through that, but that was kind of part of my journey is that I just wanted to find something that was for me, that could be just for me, that made me feel really good. And that's what definitely that strength training and food does for me is it makes me feel good. And now, you know, having older kids, what is cool that my kids even notice, they're like, Mom, if I'm like kind of frazzled, Mom, go in the gym, go like do your training or go do whatever you need to do, go do something physically active. So they definitely see how it ties into, you know, stress levels, what you've got going on and how it does definitely kind of make everything fall into place. And I feel better when I'm doing that. And so for me, it just, actually, what had happened was I had a lady years ago when I'd been going to the classes ask if I would teach a spin class. I was like, a spin class? I've never done a spin class. And I had been typically in the past because I was so shy, would say no. And I was trying to work on the saying yes to things, even if it freaked me out. You know, I didn't really want to go teach a spin class in front of a group of people that I'd never taught a class before. She's like, I'll just give you the outline. And so I taught it. I was a spin instructor for many years. I taught boot camp. I did a lot of group instruction. And then I started dabbling in doing personal training. And then I had a really fabulous coach that I worked with that I learned so much from. And he said to me one day, what do you want to do? Like, do you want to be a private coach or do you want to be a group instructor? And I said, well, I want to be a private coach. This is like really my passion. And he said, just quit teaching group classes because you need to focus on here. And so then that's how that started. So then I became a precision nutrition coach. I was a personal trainer. And then I do have the background of the group, which has been helpful as well. But it's always been more about, I just want people to know that they're, even if you, you know, aren't amazing at, you know, whatever sport it is, there's going to be something that you can find and get joy out of. So maybe earlier in my career, because I've been doing this for about 16 years, I would have been a little bit more rigid of how I would coach because that's what I was learning at that time. But along the way, what I've realized is that there's some sort of exercise or physical activity that everybody likes. So I'm not so rigid with my coaching now. You know, it's like, let's find out something that you like. What did you like to do when you were a kid? I had a guy come in and he loved skipping. We started with skipping. And then, you know, then it kind of just starts to stack from there. It's like, okay, they're comfortable with doing that because they've gotten away from being physically active. And then once you get comfortable, then we start adding other things in. It doesn't have to be like, bam, let's get in the gym and we're going to go hardcore. Cause I think that scares people. And that's definitely where I was when I first started it. I was scared. So if I could encourage people and say, it doesn't have to be so scary and we can go about it in a kinder way, then we'll do it. You can have honest conversations, but it doesn't have to be mean.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate you sharing that. Yeah. That's I didn't realize that you kind of started into fitness itself, you know, later than most, I'd say. Anything your average coach, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, played sports growing up and it was kind of like a natural transition in their teenage years to kind of go to the gym and stuff. For you, it was completely different. It was like after your first born, it was like you wanted to feel, you know, have something for yourself, you know, do something physically active, it sounded like, and just feel good. And you got into running. What was, why running at the start, if you can think back and remember?
I had a couple of my closest girlfriends that ran. Mm-hmm. And so, and my husband at the time, he was an avid runner. And I didn't run with him because it was super discouraging for me because he was freakishly fast. So I would go with my girlfriends and it was just something that we did together. And then I was a Sun Run clinic coach for probably 2 years. And I liked it, but I didn't love it. I knew that there was something else that I wanted to find. And so, you know, really, really for me, I love strength training. That's like primarily what I love, but I'm cool to dabble with all sorts of things. So,
yeah,
you know, and along the, that 16 years I have done, I've trained in multiple different ways. So that's been fun. You know, if I've had a client's been like, oh, hey, I heard you did this before. What were your thoughts? So I'm totally happy to give them insight, but always for me, it was always a journey of, I've been comfortable with doing things that maybe I'm going to look a little bit foolish or I'm not good with immediately. And then I'm okay with sharing that. Like I did this and it was totally ridiculous for me, but that's part of the learning and you're not going to know if you like something unless you try it and, you know, maybe try it more than once, maybe twice.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think giving it more than one shot.
Exactly.
What was the transition to, you know, from having your second born to weight training? How did that go?
I loved it. It was just, after I had my daughter, after I had Stella, I remember, so I used to work in finance. That's what I did before. I was in fitness and I had a crazy long lunch hour. So I had an hour and a half and I was always like, what am I going to do? An hour and a half is really long. Like sometimes I would do things that I didn't really want to do, but it's just part of daily life. Like sometimes I would grocery shop or, you know, do whatever. And I didn't really think I was using that time in the best way that I could. And there was a gym really close to where I worked. And so what I would do is I would take an hour of my break and I would go train. And I was always doing cardio, but there was this girl that started coming to the gym and she was weight training. And I'm serious. Like I probably was like jaw dropped watching her because she trained so hard. And I was like, what is this? And I just was really intrigued by that. And then I started going into that, the gym I was telling you about that I, when I started training and then with my membership, I got 3 free sessions. And I think a big part of it too, was that I really lucked out with, I had some really, really fantastic experiences with coaches, like really skilled coaches, but also really kind in that it was, they're just, we were encouraging that I was starting from a starting point. Mm-hmm. you know, like I had two C-sections. So I had a lot of kind of disconnect with my body after I'd had the two kids because I had never stayed strong through that whole time. So I had a lot of very patient coaches, and that was really fantastic. So my experience going through it has always been great. And I've always come at it as that if anybody that you work with, you learn something from each person, whether that's for you, like I might not be the coach for everybody, but there's always somewhere out there. There's always somebody out there for you. So, that's you huge. Know, we have our different style, and it's fun to try different things too and work with different people that can teach you something different in different ways. Like I used to do bodybuilding. That was fun. When it wasn't fun anymore, then I wanted to move on to something else. And then I did powerlifting, and that was totally by fluke, because actually both were by fluke. When I started doing, I did figure competing for a while, was a coach asked me, could I train you? I'd never heard of it before. I didn't know anything. And I remember going home and being like, I don't even know what it is. And I phoned her and said, I'm going to say yes, because I know if I say yes, then I have to do it. Cause that's my personality. If I sign up, then I am going to do it. But I told her, I don't know anything about it. So I'm fully entrusting you. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. Then I did that for a while, and I had a good experience with it. Then I had a coach approach me about powerlifting, cause a group of guys trained out of the same gym that I worked out of. And I was like, okay, I've never done that. So I think that I competed in, it was a long time ago. So 2012, I'd never competed in that. I hosted an event. I was involved with the BC Powerlifting Association for quite a long time. Super fun. Cool. Involved with the Special O's. That was fantastic. Super cool. And just lots of really fun experiences along the way. And I think just being open-minded, and I remind my clients of that too, just be open-minded to like, we can try different things. If this really doesn't feel good for you, there's a million other things that we can choose from. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be what you maybe see me doing, or, you know, my client that you saw me train at the gym. That might not be for you, and that's cool. We can find something else.
That's huge. A couple of things you said really, really stuck out to me. One was that you had someone at the gym, it's almost like your introduction into fitness was a good one, which like I know a few people personally that they've had really bad experiences at their first time around. I had a client last year, where she went through a free assessment at a gym.
Right.
She ended up getting a rhabdo.
Oh
yeah. She's like, the trainer worked me so hard. It was my first day in the gym. She was like hospitalized. And I don't know what to say. I almost like apologize for him, like for having her go through that, because any coaches that listen to this podcast, I need you to understand that you can be the make or break for someone if they pursue their health and fitness or not. Like it can be a scary thing to have, like, you have people's health in your hands, but we really do. And if you're not taking it seriously right now, you really need to, because a lot of people that's why they have gym anxiety. That's why they're not, you know, reaching out for help. That's why they're shelled up and they don't feel comfortable trying new things, is because maybe they had a bad experience, or they heard about a bad experience, or they see things online that they're like, well, that's scary to me. So it's
right.
Any coach is like, we have a big responsibility here, especially I'd say in-person coaches as well, taking someone through their first session. Take care of people, listen to them, be open-minded, which I think that goes for coaches and clients. It's like, have an open mind. There is no one size fits all, right? It's not just because it worked for you doesn't mean it works. It's going to work for everyone else. I've learned that firsthand. I've done powerlifting as well. I think it was 2017-ish. And I was like, yeah, like everyone should do barbell exercises. And like, as I continue to coach, I'm like, no, they shouldn't. Like, barbell back squat is not for everyone. Neither is a bench press, and definitely neither is a deadlift. So it's like, you've Christine grown as an individual big time, because you're like, I've tried this. You've done different things. And now as a coach, you're like, well, I am aware that not everyone is going to want to do the same thing, nor should they, which is important. I think that separates being an actual coach versus giving cookie cutter programs, I think, to everyone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, if you've kind of dabbled in a little bit of everything, then, you know, if someone, I don't know, if you know, do an assessment with a client and then something comes up in the conversation and And then, like, if, say, for example, if I have a woman that I do an assessment with, and I can see that she's like really, really, really nervous, and it, there's a lot of apprehension, often what I'll do is I'll give them just a break-in program. So I'll say, we're going to have you work on mobility. I'm going to give you a 2-week break-in program. I'll give them 5 things to work from, and that's it. And even when you just say to them, like, and that's it, they're like, oh, it, you know, that's it. That's all I have to do. Yeah, let's just work from there. And then they get comfortable, because really, like you say, you want to create this nice kind of a gentle environment of them feeling like you're really there for them and you're encouraging them, and that it's not feeling daunting when they're doing it. Like, I would almost rather oversimplify it at first. Mm-hmm. You really want to have, you want to build that trust with them, then it's going to move forward from there. You know, I've had clients that I've done their program and they say, oh, it seems too easy. And I'll say, okay, like, let's work on it for this amount of time. You know, we talk along the way. And then they say, okay, I feel so much better now, because before I would always do it and beat myself up. So, you know, you want to have that slow and steady. It's like with anything, slow and steady is what it's going to keep you going. If you're all in and all out,
yeah,
and you're all in and you're all out.
Yeah. It's true. Right? It's tough too, because like, we have to combat what people see online, which is mm-hmm. instant gratification, fast paced things, doing all the things. And I can tell you firsthand, like, anyone who's, and I've done it, like, you want to make a change. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Don't do all the things at once. Don't, right. you know, do a kitchen clean out and try a brand new workout routine and add cardio and change your sleep schedule. And it's like, you won't be able to do it all. And that's not a slight against you. It's just, you physically won't be able to make all those changes at once, which is why, you know, we talked briefly off the air about habit stacking, which is like, do one thing, do it really well, then add to it. Then right. again, repeat. And then when you can do that, it's like taking a course. It's like, you don't do the whole textbook at a time. You mm-hmm. take a chapter, yeah. you learn that chapter, then you move on from that and you just build on that. So it's like, you're explaining, simplifying things. I think it's overlooked, but it's extremely necessary to keep things simple, because like you said, then they can actually do it consistently. Then you take them from there.
That's right. Yeah. I have my clients use this one coaching tool. It was something that a coach that I had learned from years ago is they use sticky notes and then have them write down what is working. And then I think, you know, I always tell them, stick it on your bathroom mirror, because you're guaranteed to see that at the beginning of the morning, every single day, you're brushing your teeth, and start writing down positive things about yourself. Like, what felt good that I was doing? What are all the tiny little things? Because eventually you end up with this big scroll list of things that feel good. And if we could focus just on that, you know, work on your mindset, work on your environment first, instead of feeling like you have to be this bubble of so extreme, you know, I tell my clients all the time, take a breath, let's step it back. You know, what is, yeah, sure, there's your goal. You know, say for example, somebody is weight loss, because that's a common topic of conversation. They're wanting weight loss. Weight loss actually falls to the bottom, right? So we have to work on all the other things. And then that's the end result of doing all of those things. And that may not come for some time. And so if you can find the other things to celebrate, the other things to feel really good about, you know, I did a post today about one of my ladies. She's just started implementing walking, and now it's not feeling like she's having to make herself go do it. Now she's like looking forward to it. She said she's craving going for her walks, because she's seeing like, she's sleeping better. She's feeling better through her day. She's happier. Mm. So we start, you know, start small. And so it doesn't have to, you don't have to be starting a new program and that it's necessarily even that you're lifting right away. You know, if that's just too much to start with, then we start with something different. So everybody's different. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you might see like you want to emulate this person that you see on Instagram or some sort of social media. Well, they're probably taking a long, long time to get there. And do you know the whole picture? And that's, you know, a reminder. And as a mom of older kids too, you know, I have a daughter who's 18 and a son who's 21, is I want them to see reality, not like not reality TV. Yeah. That, just FYI, people, that's not reality. What's real? And so, you know, a big part of my journey, like, you know, learning about myself and then getting into the industry and like why I'm so passionate about it is that I also wanted to set a good example for my kids. And what I noticed with them getting older that's kind of cool is when they were younger, most certainly I was more strict because they didn't know anything different. So as what they were given is what was provided for them, and they would go along with it. And then, you know, when their world opens up more, that changes a little bit. And so now what I think I notice is happening is that even if they kind of like are maybe making choices that I don't love, like my son loves to eat junk food and he's found like his favorite corner store that he stops at on the way home from work. He always goes back to our regular habits. So without me having to remind him, like he'll just, you know, he likes his regular meals. He's like, oh, I've been eating too much of that sort of stuff. So, you know, I think as parents, not even just as a parent of a girl, because I know that that's kind of a big thing, like being a mom of a daughter, but also for our boys too, because I think a lot of times the boys don't talk about what their insecurities are as well. It's always on the forefront about women and daughters, but it's both sided. I see that with clients, and like I train clients privately as well. So sometimes I think going from a public facility to being in a private setting, you learn a lot more in depth about what's really going on. So
that's fair.
You know, we want to make sure as coaches that we're taking care of all of that sort of stuff. And you just set the basics and set the groundwork for all of it. And then you fit all the puzzle pieces in of how that's going to be put together.
Yeah. You take it from there. I mean, I can only speak from my personal experience of what it was like growing up. Like I wasn't in shape. I played hockey, but I was always kind of reserved. I had a trainer, I had different coaches over the years, but it was insecurities were not something I ever really talked about, or I wasn't even asked about, really. It wasn't one of those things. So I do love that you bring that up, because men face it too, but it's almost not as prevalent, or it's not as well known because it's not talked about a lot.
Right.
But it's true. I've known quite a few guys in the gym that are just like, they're not comfortable, you know, being out in the open, and they'd rather go train privately, which is nothing wrong with that. Yeah. But I think you bring up a good point of like parents, we set the standard almost, and we kind of mold them, whether we know it or not, into their behaviors. Like my 5-year-old knows, we had a great discussion the other day actually about like, what are healthy foods? Like, what does that mean? And why should we eat certain things more, and what foods can we eat less of? And it was like, it's tough to have a conversation with a 5-year-old and not overexplain, because he can only understand so much at this point. So it was like, he asked like, why can't we have nachos every day, but like, why can I have strawberries every day or eggs? And I had to explain like the differences and like proteins, like, well, what are unhealthy foods we shouldn't have? And it was like, this is wild, because it's like it teaches me to be a better teacher in the same time, and like how I word things is important, because I don't want him growing up thinking he can't have things, or you know, the whole cheat meal thing and stuff like that. So it's like, I need to be extra careful with how I say things. Have you found, I know your kids are older now, but have you found like that sort of stuff came up over the years as well?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And yeah, most certainly. Like I had, you know, we had kind of our way that we ate at home, and then sometimes conversations would come up. Actually, I don't find so much with my kids, because it's just what they know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more when we would have other kids come over. Sometimes especially as they became teenagers, you know, if somebody would be coming over, we would have the conversation of what I would say is, what do they like? Because sometimes the kids would come over and I would put out all this food that I was like, oh, this food's amazing. And then they wouldn't eat any of it. Not necessarily because the kids didn't like it, but they'd just not been introduced to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually kind of an interesting learning tool I found for myself, is that they just don't know. And sometimes the parents just don't know. So I find sometimes I'll be speaking with clients about that, is that they feel, you know, I don't even know, like they just feel bad about that they don't know these skills, but
yeah,
they haven't been taught. It's kind of, we kind of have this like weird little missing space of what people know about nutrition, and that it either has to be super restrictive or they go off the radar. It doesn't. We can find a happy medium in the middle. And more often than not, I just have people talk about, what do you like? Because it's daunting if you're always thinking about what you don't like. So then they'll say, oh, I'm a picky eater. okay, well, what do you like? Let's write it down, mm-hmm. right? I'll have them write it down. And then they're like, oh, I actually do like a lot of foods. I'm like, just work with that. You can just see just the foods that you like, or, you know, if you have a favorite food that you like to have, but we maybe want to kind of bump up the nutritional value of it. Let's take that recipe and we'll modify it. So you can still eat that.
Yeah.
And you'll just be a little bit better content than what it was before. So you can continue to have it often.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah. And I love that you put a positive spin on it, right? You said not to think in the negative all the time of like,
yeah.
And that's what people do with restrictive diets. They'll be like, well, I can't have this and I can't have this and I can't have this. And all of a sudden it already sucks. Like it's already a negative experience, which I think is what holds a lot of people back from long-term results is they jump into something. We talked about trying to do too much and then with focusing on everything you can't have, it's like, well, how do you expect to live like this? It's not, you're going to do a diet, eat all the foods you don't like and avoid all the things you do. And then you're supposed to go back to normal life after, like, how does that work?
Right. Yeah.
And you said it, like, there's a huge gap in nutrition education, I'd say, because we're only, up to a certain age, we're only taught what our parents have taught us.
Yes.
Right. So like, for me, it was high carb meals before hockey and pasta, because that's what my uncles did. They made it far in hockey. So I'm like, okay, that's what I did until we learned from my coach and my trainer at the time was like, he needs to have some protein. Like you can't just eat pasta all the time. It's right. not going to help. So it's like, we have a huge responsibility to sometimes educate ourselves and like, what is actually, you know, going to be more beneficial, less beneficial, and get away from the good or bad kind of mentality with food.
Yeah, it's so true. And yeah, it's so true is, you know, and it's unfortunate too, because there's so much learning to learn about that. And it's that black and white mindset, that, you know, you will have parents or like, I'll have moms that I'm working with and then they'll say, well, I'm going to do this, but then the rest of the family is going to do something.
Yeah.
Well, that just creates more challenge because it creates more busy. Then you feel like an outsider in your family. Nobody's wanting to eat together. So then I think it's important to create meals that have something that everybody likes. Like my kids are not picky eaters. They're both pretty good. They like a little bit different things, just their palate's a little bit different. But our rule in our house was like, my son really didn't like broccoli. I didn't force him to eat broccoli. I just would offer two vegetables and then I would keep offering. He likes it now. Like he loves broccoli now, but, and that's another point too, is just because you didn't used to like something doesn't mean you won't like it now, or maybe you need to prepare it differently or just give it a try. Right. So again, that. it's like fitness or adding new things and value to your life is that includes food. I have a lady I was doing nutrition training with over the last 6 months. And that's what we spoke about. She said she was just so limited in her mindset about what she would eat. And, her husband is very diverse. They're out a lot. And so she would not want to go somewhere because she wouldn't know what to eat. Cause she's like, I don't like anything. And she said, now she's like decided that, okay, I'm just going to try it. And she said, I'm so amazed at how many foods I really enjoy. And so she's been able to transition to feeling stressed about food to actually getting joy in eating food that feels good for her and that she's enjoying as well.
That's great. That's the open-mindedness that you talked about earlier in the podcast too. It's like what was true in the past might not be true right now or in the future. Mm-hmm. It's like, you won't really know it though until you experience it. I can think of a number of foods that I eat now that I didn't like when I was like a kid or a teenager. Things change, palates change, tastes change. You mature, I think, a little bit too is part of it. Yeah. But it's interesting. I like the food rule thing. I think I was doing that for a while when I was really trying to like cut down and get really lean. It was like family pizza night was like Fridays, so I would have, instead of my normal like three slices or whatever, I would have one, and then my rest of my plate would be like some vegetables and some protein. And I had a client, we had the same conversations, like, you know, his wife wants to cook, you know, kind of whatever she feels like, or the kids want to have pizza. It's summertime. You know, they want to have more freedom. I'm like, cool. Like, I want you to not feel like an outsider in your own home, because that right. never bodes well for anyone. It doesn't feel natural. So I'm like, you can have, why don't you just have smaller portions of what they're having, but make sure the rest of your plate is in line with what we're trying to achieve, whether it's higher protein or certain calorie count, things like that, which is huge.
Right.
Yeah,
it is huge. Another thing that I have had come up with women is that they're not wanting to make a change and have it to be like this big rah, 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 everybody knows. because that's creating stress for them, mm-hmm. because then they feel that there's outside pressures, or they're believing that there's outside pressures. So I just say, well, just do it under the radar. So it's just things of like, work on tools like making small changes in the meals that they're cooking, but they don't even mention it to anybody. So it's just naturally happening and everybody's going along with it without them knowing that there's, you know, there's something stirring below, below the surface.
Yeah,
it doesn't always have to be like this massive goal or like this big rah-rah of something happening. It's like, you can just quietly start making change. And, you know, with my clients, I tell them all the time, we can talk, nobody needs to know about it.
True. Right?
Yeah. It's like a little secret service.
it's funny because I've had quite a few clients, like when they signed up, like they let it be known, like they don't want to be presented on social media. They don't want to be talked about. And that's fine. Like I respect everyone's privacy. Some people are just, that's their personality. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy when clients share wins, whether public or otherwise, because I think still, even if you're not rah-rah about like the entire journey or like I'm doing this thing, celebrating wins, no matter how big or small, I think is still important, because that's some of the only kind of instant gratification you'll get in a fitness journey. You can probably agree, like fitness long-term is long-term gratification. It's very much delayed, right? Like you said, the weight loss goal doesn't happen because you just said, I want to lose weight. It's like, you have a lot of kind of little steps to take over a course of time that mm-hmm. will bring you there. So it's like, what's going to keep them engaged on the way to getting there? And as you sure. noted, there's habits, there's different things that they can do. Do you find with the women that you work with or otherwise, like, is there a big disconnect between like the process and their goal or their mindset, or their expectations of how to get there? And how do you help them with that?
There is, I think that just really is part of the learning process as being someone's coach, is that I do have my clients do a lot of feedback. So the clients that are in my 12-week program, it's really about like setting up their environment, setting up their mindset. And we work on that. And I do find it's a lot of stepping back. Let's look at this again. Mm-hmm. You know, you can always reset your goals. Some people, you give them the tools and they go with it.
Yep.
But it's still important to check in with those clients as well, because it may seem like it's all going well, but I think, you know, having the feedback is what really is of utmost important, not only as their coach, but also for themselves. Mm-hmm. Because when you make people write things down or keep track, depending on what it is that you're working on with that client, when they write it down, they're like, oh, okay, it is working. Or like, yeah, this felt really good, instead of falling into that, this doesn't feel good. I have two ladies in my last week that were just feeling really overwhelmed with like putting things into the app, and that it was just a lot. Mm. So I just took everything out and then we re-implemented. So that's part of being able to have open conversations and being honest about like, this isn't feeling good, this feels good. And we want to lean more into what feels good and really, really work on that. Mm. And then the other stuff will come with it. You know, it's like not being so hard on yourself. You're not failing if you're not getting everything done. Our society, in my opinion, tries to do way too many things. And it's really important to, you know, of course you have things that you have to do every day. Like you have to go to work, whatever it is that are your set things that you have to do. But we should be having more things that are giving us joy, because if you fulfill yourself there, then it's going to help everything else come into place. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's, you make elements.
Yeah. Well, you did that when you told us the start of your journey, right? You did something for you that was getting physically active. And I'm sure you can agree that bled into every other aspect of life. You know, when you feel good, generally you show up in positive ways in other aspects of life, whether it's brotherhood, with a partner, at work, with clients, whatever it might be. The thing that, as the more and more people I coach and the more I do this, it's like communication is like the number one thing. If I want to know when you're feeling good, I want to know when you're not feeling good, because the last thing you want is to go into like a turtle mode.
Yes.
And then never really express how you're feeling. Or what happens sometimes is one thing or a couple things happen in life and then it starts to kind of pile on, mm-hmm. and then you let it all pile on. And then it gives you like this negative outlook of like, well, things aren't working. I don't feel good. I'm not doing everything I need to do, or I'm not sticking to the program. And then I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, it's Wednesday and you've got two workouts done already. And you know, you've gotten your protein intake. I'm like, things are going well in this realm. I understand maybe in these other things aren't. So it's like trying to get them to open up and just sharing how deep they want of like, if things are going really, really well, I still want to know about it. I think that's awesome. If things aren't going well, yes, I'd love to know about it because I can try to help as best I can navigate, because I'm sure you can agree, life will throw you a curveball, and how to navigate those things and pivot around them. Yeah. Forward, that's the biggest thing. Fitness journeys are not built on, or fitness, I guess, results aren't built on like one nice smooth path to your goal. There's always going to be rocky moments and barriers and stuff like that.
Exactly. It's just like the rest of life. You get thrown so many things. So it's learning those tools of, okay, well, I got sidetracked and I didn't get my regular training in or my regular meals in. How do you deal with that after it? That's what's really of utmost importance, is if you know how to get back to your groove, or also accepting the fact that sometimes that groove that you had going and worked really, really well for a long time, it's going to change. And you get to pick that, like, you have a child, you had a job change, you had whatever it is going on. Let's reconfigure that. I work with a lot of teachers. And so we always talk about, okay, like, you know, end of school's coming, what's summer going to look like? Mm-hmm. And then summer's coming to an end. We're not going to talk about it when they've already gone back to work. We're going to be talking about that before. Nice. What's the schedule look like going into September? So how are we going to work on what your schedule is going to be for the things that you want to do for you? So I think like having foresight of what you're breaking down your year. So I'll have clients say, okay, you know, this is, if they're setting a goal for the year, this is your goal for the year. Then we break it down into quarters. Then we go to months, then we go to weeks. And then it's like, if you have a sidetrack, a speed bump in the road, mm-hmm, okay, how are we going to deal with that? Let's talk about it. What's going to feel good? And what can you do without feeling like you're overwhelmed?
It's huge. Yeah. Our fellow, I guess our peer colleague, Alex Herrmann, came up with bare ass minimums, is something he brought up to the table a couple years ago. Yeah. And I'm like, I've used that ever since he said it. But it's true, because sometimes life will throw something at you, and it's like, what's the bare minimum you can do? Whether it's having enough water, going for a walk. Like I have a client right now, she's moving, or she just moved, I don't know, at this day as we're recording this, but I'm like, that's fine. I knew the date was coming. We knew. I'm like, okay, look, if you don't get your scheduled workouts in, I totally understand, because you're moving. You're going to be walking a ton, moving a ton of boxes. You're going to be physically active. So the one thing I wanted to make sure with her is she didn't get down on herself because she didn't get them done. Cause she has like a 95% completion rate with all the workouts we've done over the last 6 months. So it's like just setting the standard, like it's okay to have a week or two where you're just like, it's not in that groove, as you put it. It's not going to completely derail you. It's not going to unravel everything you just worked on. It's like, that's just a season of life. Then we go into it. We do what we can. And then we kind of come out of it. Okay, what's next? And just keep moving forward. Yeah.
That's right. I have a client who's leaving on Saturday for an amazing 3-week vacation in Europe with her family.
Wow.
And yeah, I know. So excited for her. But it was interesting. The conversation leading into it was, well, I'm not going, there's not any gyms in any of the places that she's going to, and she's traveling with her family. So it would pose a challenge. There were just some challenges. Mm-hmm. And she's super consistent with her habits. You know, they're great eating, their whole family. They have like a good kind of thing going in their house. And I said, you know, well, what are you guys going to be doing? Well, they'll be super active because they're a very active family. I was like, well, then just use your walking and all the joy that you're going to get from everything outside of that. Like, I know that they'll be hiking, they'll be doing all of that. So I said, that's your workout for the 3 weeks. And then you get to spend this amazing time with your family, mm-hmm, learning so many new things. And, you know, and we already have a plan in place for when she's back.
Perfect.
So, you know, that's what it's all about, right? Mm-hmm. Go and have joy. And that might not be your same pattern that you have when you're at home. But, you know, if you can implement some of, say, your eating when you're away, and it's, some people like to go and like just do whatever when they're away and not think about it at all. Mm-hmm. Some people like to have some strategic plan in place. And so you have to work with what your personality type is and what you feel good with. Right.
Yeah. 100%. And I think too, it depends on what you're doing too.
For sure. And I think, you know, the biggest thing that people have to remember is that when you're first in learning something new, it feels very awkward and it's uncomfortable. But eventually over time, it just becomes part of you. So you won't even think about it anymore. So like if you are going to go on a vacation, you'll be like, oh, okay, I already know what I'm going to be doing. Like I have a lot of people who have vacation homes. And so they will just set up their other home exactly like they do at home. Instead of it being like that, you know, two-sided.
It's polar opposite kind of lifestyle. Right?
It's, and you know, maybe a little bit of less things, but it'll be maybe some more of other things, right? So good.
It's different. Yes, it's trade-off. It's different situations. Like it depends on the client's vacation, what it's about. I call it one like the beach bum vacation or the active one.
For sure.
The beach bum vacation, I typically are a little bit more like, let's look for protein in every meal. Let's be a little bit more mindful of nutrition if you're not going to be able to exercise, if it's working out or not. I had a family, it was a couple of years ago. They went to Italy and they're both parents wanted to lose a little bit more fat. And I'm like, I'm going to leave you alone when you're on vacation. Like, I'm not going to bug you. You're on vacation. You're in Italy with your family. Like you won't hear from me unless you want to. They both came back and they're like, we ate pasta every day. We had wine. We walked a ton and they both came back like a pound or two lighter. And I'm like, that's exactly what I expected to happen, because what happens a lot of the time is, especially over the pandemic, I guess, is like you're working from home, you're sitting all day. If you go on a vacation and you're walking thousands and thousands more steps than you're used to, your body's going to, you know, appreciate that in a way where you have a little bit more wiggle room with food. Also, you're less stressed when you're on vacation like that. So the cortisol response in your body is a little bit different than it is when you're at home in the hustle and bustle of work and kids and life. So anyone going on trips, enjoy them like that, that you're not going on a trip to stress about what you're doing at home. You're going on a trip to enjoy the trip. So I think number one tip is enjoy it, right? You have the joy of where you're at, what you're doing, be present, and don't sweat the minutia of every little thing of fitness. Yeah. While you're there.
Exactly. And like you get to choose what that looks like, right? So having some choice in that can feel a little bit better too. Right. My husband and I, we love going to different gyms when we travel, and we just like that. But some people don't like that. So you do it your way, right?
Yeah. That's funny. I was never whenever we traveled, I was never like to go to the gym person.
No.
Even though I've been training for almost 20 years, every time it was vacation. Most of the times I try to plan my training out where like I would just go crazy volume intensity the week before and I would just take a rest week when we're gone. So I didn't have to worry about it, but it was more of just like, I didn't want to, I'm like, I just wanted to spend time with my wife at the time or like with my kids or whatever it might be. It's and you said it, you choose. I think that's the other thing. It's like, sometimes it's scary, but it's like choose your own adventure book, except adventure is life. It's like you what direction are you going to go? It's just, you won't know the outcome until you live it.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, that is a big part of that whole journey, is that as a coach, you know, for example, someone will ask me for a meal plan. I'm like, you sure as heck don't want to eat what I eat, because I eat things. So I can tell you, but I can guarantee probably about 50%, you'll just think it's weird. And so why would I tell you what to do? We need to figure out what feels good for you, and then build it from there. Right.
I love that. That's one of the best things. I do have to unfortunately wrap up pretty soon. I have another call to be, but I'd love to know if you leave us with a golden nugget to put you on the spot of like one thing the audience can take away from this.
I think that for me, this week I had a really great conversation with someone, and it was a really huge standout for me. And it was, take a deep breath. And she said to me, I realized that I was living my days unconsciously. And at the end of the day, she was thinking to herself, wow, that was a crapshoot. It didn't feel very good. And she says, now I'm living my days consciously. And at the end of the day, she said, it feels really good.
That's amazing.
And I think, you know, that's how we should be building our lives. And strength and nutrition looks very different for each person. And so instead of comparing yourself to someone else, we just want to figure out more about you, what works for you, what works for your family, and what feels sustainable.
I love it. Spoken from a great coach. I love it, Christine. Thank you so much. Shameless plug time. Where can everyone find you? What do you got going on right now?
You can find me on Instagram. Primarily, it's under Christine Williams Online Coach. It's also under Pure Strength and Nutrition. I'm running a 12-week program called My Signature Fit and Fabulous. And yeah, if you have questions, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a message.
Awesome. I'll link that in the show notes for sure. Thank you again for taking the time. I love chatting. I know you and I, we can keep going for a long time on this. Yeah, it's great. So maybe we'll do a part two later this year.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, John. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Okay, bye. Yeah.